Welcome to the Nine, a busy show today. We'll catch up with former Roughnecks captain Andrew McBride, current assistant coach for the NLL's Colorado Mammut. But really, it's not a lot of lacrosse talk. We're just talking about life. McBride and I may be set to become massive rivals and nemesis or nemesises. We'll find the right word. We'll square that all away by about 25 after the hour. Also, a lengthy Pinder report as we dive into Game 6 between the Avs and the Vegas Golden Knights. I was really hoping we get more of that series. It was great, but it's over. And that's okay. I wish it was a best of 11. They did not change the format for that one specific series we enjoyed. It's an intriguing Final Four. We'll talk about all that, as well as some news in the soccer world, Major League Baseball last night, and so much more all in that Pinder report. But right now, we kick off the great summer tournament that is Euro 2020 with Tommy Wheeldon Jr.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance your Infinity from 0% or get up to 14 grand in savings. Hyatt Infinity on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Tommy, it's finally here. I'm sure there were doubters and skeptics and people wondering whether it would happen when this got postponed last summer in the early pandemic. And here we are on the other side, hopefully, with fans in the stadiums, and it's getting underway today. There's always a buildup of excitement for Euro, which happens every 4 years, staggered in between World Cups. But an extra year of waiting only makes us that much more, I guess, salivating at the potential product this tournament brings.
Absolutely. It's a great tournament. Any of these where you get to see the best on best is a good tournament, and it just whets the appetite for all the football fans out there as well, because it is different, you know. Whatever club team you support, it's you get behind the nation or the nation closest to you for the summer. So I think it's a great way through the summer to connect to all the football fans.
And judging by your accent, you are going to be supporting the French. Now, what part of France are you from?
Oui.
Remind us.
Oui.
What other words do you know?
Yeah, that's it.
Hors d'oeuvre.
Parlez-vous anglais?
Sure. You are obviously hail from England. Your dad, big in soccer over there. Over here, you came over here. Here is your home. You've been here for a while. People are familiar with your story, I believe. But why don't we start with the nation you were brought up in and one where soccer is king? How do the English look in this tournament? And what about your home country this month?
I think they've really got a good chance, as good as ever. You look at what Gareth Southgate did in the World Cup, getting to the semi-final, and it was a good squad. I think this squad is better. I think he's a manager that, because he's been an international player, he's spent more time in the international scene than he has in the domestic scene. The domestic scene is going week to week, day to day. The international scene is all about tournaments. In my short tenure as a professional manager, I've done a full season and also a tournament. And I can tell you, having done, even in the CPL, two different seasons, it really is two different things. And, as most, sports in North America can tell you, the playoffs is far different than the regular season. So I think in Gareth Southgate, they've got somebody like that. They've got an incredible centre forward in Harry Kane, and probably the most amount of skill I've seen in depth that they've ever had, really. If you look at Phil Foden of Man City, Jack Grealish, I mean, I think if he plays, and he should, he's an exceptional talent. You look at whether it's Marcus Rashford at Man U or Raheem Sterling at Man City as well, you've got quality. And then you start working it way back, and Mason Mount's had a terrific year with Chelsea. And you've got Champions League winners in there. You've got Premier League winners in there. So if ever they're going to have a real crack at it, it's probably this year. And the other added advantage, if the fans do get back in, they're playing their group games at home in Wembley, and also the semi-finals and the final are home in Wembley. So as tournaments are, get out the group, get yourself into knockout football, and then momentum carries you through.
It is six groups, four teams, an expanded field of 24, and also an expanded knockout round. Used to be the case that only eight teams would get through for Euro, if I'm correct. That goes up to 16 this year, as we will have four third-place teams getting to the knockout round. So half of the third-place teams will get in, the ones with the best records. How do you feel about the expanded format and also the idea to go to 11 different cities around Europe? This is normally a host and everyone comes to you, but it's not the case this time.
Yeah, and I think we talked yesterday. You know, for me, I think the French have the best chance of winning it because they're the deepest squad, current World Cup winners, and they'll have a mix of, you know, people who have won at tournaments, which is huge. And I think they've just got balance everywhere. So it's tough to look that far past them. But I think you and I talked even just on messaging about, I know you're a fan of the Dutch, and they probably have a really favourable side of the draw because, you know, they have a group that has in Ukraine, Austria, and North Macedonia, which, you know, they shouldn't be underplaying them because each of them will be stubborn and resolute. But what they do have is, as they come out of that, they'll play the third place group of one of the other top finishers. Mm-hmm. And I think that gives them a great chance to get into the quarters. And like I said, once you're in the quarterfinals, it's about momentum. And, you know, maybe you're finding a run of goals. And if Memphis Depay steps up the way he's been playing for his club side, then I think they've got a really good chance because they've got some good footballers. You know, albeit they're without Virgil van Dijk, which is he's a colossus at the back for them. But, I think they could be a sneaky one. But as I said, today's game for me is one that I'm looking forward to with Italy and Turkey because I think Italy are an outsider. They're one that people aren't really talking about, but they're unbeaten in 25. And, wow. You know, Italy, like Germany, they know how to play tournament football. You can't rule out the Germans at any tournament, no matter how they're qualifying's gone. But Italy, on the other hand, have had a really good qualifying process. Unbeaten in 25, won 10 out of 10 in qualifying, have a mix of great defence and good attack. And Turkey, I just like Turkey's my dark horse. So if anybody's out there, you know, wanting to put on a bet, I like them because they brought in Sunal Gumez, you know, the coach that took them to the 2002 World Cup semifinals. And there's a bit of football romance coming around with them again.
Listen, I'm not going to pretend to be the soccer expert, and we know that you are, but when I think of Italian football, I do think about, you know, maybe one or two guys up front that scare you, but just strong defensive play, they aren't going to allow a ton. Is that fair to say that that's the way they're still playing, or is it a different group this time around?
Well, it's crazy because you look at Giorgio Chiellini and Leonardo Bonucci have played club side together. They've played for Italy together. They are just going to be the stalwarts at the back. Behind them, they've got Gianluigi Donnarumma, which I think is one of the best goalkeepers in the world. And it's hard to think. I think he's 20, 21, but he's been playing for AC Milan since he was 16, 17. So he's an incredible goalkeeper. And I think once you have that, you give yourself a half chance. I mean, always look at what, you know, Germany did with Manuel Neuer. You know, when they won the World Cup, was it 2014? But you need a world-class defence and goal. And that's where I think England falls short. Jordan Pickford's a good goalkeeper. John Stones and Harry Maguire in front as a defensive trifecta are not as strong as what I say there are the Italians. And forever, if you're in a tournament football on the back of COVID where there's a lot of injuries, I think defence matters. But added to that, they've got, you know, goal scorers in Immobile. You know, Lorenzo Insigne is a cracking player. You know, Andrea Belotti on the bench. And Chiesa, I really like Chiesa. His dad was an Italian international as well. He had a brief spell at Chelsea, I remember, when I was living in England. But I watched him play for Fiorentina at the San Siro. And I thought, oof, this guy's a player. And he's now doing his stuff for Juventus too. So I like the look of them. And in the midfield, you look at Jorginho. He's just won the Champions League with Chelsea. He covers so much ground, great in possession, alongside him, Verratti of PSG. So I just think they've got a really good nucleus of a team that will be tough to score against and can hurt you going the other way.
You talked about it yesterday, Belgium, the number one team in the world by FIFA rankings, which certainly aren't everything, but they aren't nothing either. That means you've played well against other clubs internationally. Tell us about the star power there and maybe why Belgium isn't the favorite given the ranking.
Yeah, well, I think what they've got is they've got a team that's been together a long time. Again, when I talk about goalkeeping, Courtois is up there amongst some of the best goalkeepers. You know, they'll look at, you know, has he had a great season there with Real Madrid? He's been okay, but he's a solid keeper at 6'6". And in front of him, they've got experience with Vertonghen, Alderweireld, and Vermaelen. They've played together a long time. Now, you could say that, you know, in their mid to early 30s, are they nearing the end? So could they get down with a little bit of pace against a quick and tricky side? But what they do have is I think they have a fantastic midfield. If you look at Yuri Tielemans, Axel Witsel and Kevin De Bruyne, they've got, you know, some of the best footballers. Yuri Tielemans scored the FA Cup winner for Leicester this year. He's a hell of a player, and he hasn't really had that, you know, breakout on the national scene. So he's kind of a bit of a sleeper on that side. And then you look at Lukaku. Lukaku's one of the best nines in the world right now. Just won the Serie A with Inter Milan, scored a bunch of goals, loves playing for Belgium. So he'll be a threat. And you look at him and, yeah, whilst Hazard hasn't had a stellar year for Real Madrid, these type of players can always, you know, hit a run of form. And if they choose to do it in the summer for their country, when it's a different environment, then watch out. But, you know, it will come down to, you know, is that, are they experienced or are they slow at the back? So that'll be what holds them out. They typically play with a back three. Back threes are great in build out, give you an extra defense. But sometimes if you're, you know, forever against the opposing team, you end up dropping that back three to a back five by your wing back sitting in, and then it makes it harder to get out. So it'd be interesting to see how teams play against them, and tactically whether they look to pin them back and then or let them come onto them and hit them on the counter.
Typically, we're going to see three games a day, 7 a.m., 10 a.m., and then one in the afternoon, Calgary time. We're going to chat after the morning game before that 10 a.m. game, so we'll have a game to react to, two to look forward to, I suppose three to look forward to with the next day's morning match. It is you don't have to wait for some good ones here. I mean, today's an interesting one. Italy is heavily favored by a goal and a half. That's sort of the goal line there. But there's some dandies here. I think England, Croatia is two nations where the sport couldn't mean more to the people. And there is a ton of world-class players on both sides. Spain, Sweden's interesting. Clubs that have had deep runs in this tournament and in international tournaments. But is there a better match than the last match of the first round of play, the first game for every team? It'll see France and Germany head-to-head Tuesday afternoon.
I think it's great. I mean, I think the games leading up to it are just going to whet our appetite because, as I said about Turkey, people won't know really what they're about until they really see them and go, oh, actually, they're a decent side. I hope I'm not hitting my words here, but looking what they did in qualifying, look at them on paper. But I actually quite like the Denmark and Finland. And I said maybe it's because I watched too many Viking shows of late, and my wife's side is from Denmark. There's something about those Scandinavian countries, as we've seen with, you know, Iceland, that they refuse to lose, and I think that'll be a cracking battle on Saturday. Yeah. I think for me, I'm looking forward to obviously Sunday, England, Croatia. You know, there's a history from the semi-final in 2018, World Cup semis. And then obviously you got the Netherlands and Ukraine in there as well. But you're right, the games are just going to build up thick and fast here. And France v. Germany is the first game. You know, everyone on the outside will think it's a must-win, but like I said, four out of the six third-place qualifiers go through. So I think you'll see a lot of managers just literally manage, rotate, and do enough to get through and make sure they protect some of their, you know, MVP-type players so that when it gets to the knockout rounds, that's when they're going to start hitting full gear.
Tommy Wilton Jr. with us talking Euro 2020 here each weekday morning in the 9. Mondays, we'll bump that up into the 8 o'clock hour. How are you taking in the tournament? You guys are busy training with Cavalry FC. Mm-hmm. You're going to be heading to Winnipeg to start off the CPL season in some kind of a modified bubble of sorts. Mm-hmm. How do you absorb this, and what do you love to do? Is it poring over data after the matches? Is it watching it live with a notepad? Do you like sitting back with a leg crossed over your knee sipping tea? What are you doing here?
Do you know, it's so hard when you work in the game to watch a game as a fan, unless it's your own team. It's weird because I watch, you know, England or watch Everton, and I can watch them as fans, and then you're like, oh, why is he picking that lad? And why is he doing that? And then when I watch it where I have no skin in the game, I watch it tactically and say, why are they building out from the goalkeeper in that formation? How are they creating the overload from this situation? Why are they defending inside their own half like that? What are they trying to do? You know, are they trying to draw the team on and hit on the counter? So for me, I'll watch it live. So the 7 a.m. games are great. I'm an early riser anyway, much like you. So I'll get up, watch that one, get off to training, you know, watch the one that's the 10 a.m. after training, whether it's on PVR or highlights if I don't have time. And I'll find a way to watch all three, and then I do like looking at data, because for me, I'm always looking at why. You know, why is it that way? What have they done to do that? And at the end of the day, as much as you look at data, the only data that matters is the scoreboard in the top left-hand corner, really. And that when it comes to tournaments, you know, possession is great, but sometimes it's, you know, the greatest myth out there, because You know, when you're in your attacking formation, you're wide and big. And when you're in your defensive, you're close and narrow, and you can hit teams on the counter and hurt them just as much. So you watch Italy do that a lot.
Okay, well, I'm excited. I'm jacked up. This is going to be good. And you know how thirsty I get midday, so this is going to work nicely. This is, I think, going to be a fit. A reminder, the CPL season, you guys are underway on, what, the 27th? Is
27th.
That correct?
Yeah. You will 27th, face... York United, yeah.
And just give us a real quick summary of where you're at when you travel. And obviously, it's a COVID universe, so you're getting tested and things as well, I'm sure.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're within our own bubble here in Calgary as much as we can. We get there, as soon as we get there, we've got to pass a couple of COVID tests again. I think most of our team have got all but, you know, one of the vaccines already. Some have even got the two, so I think that makes it safer and healthier than it was, say, last year. We didn't have the vaccine last year.
Right.
Yeah. When we get there, the idea really is the league. Again, you've got to commend the creativity of the league, where they're saying, well, if you're going to come this way and everyone's in one place in the center of, you know, Canada, then let's take all the West teams and you play your home and away leg against your furthest opponents from the East. So we burn that with a view to you when you come back, and hopefully by that time, you know, stands will be full again with the fans. And then we play some games against the West, and hopefully there's another crossover down the line against the East. But, you know, we're just happy to get playing, and we'll be happy to return home and play again at Spruce Meadows. It's been a long time, but yeah, we're just looking forward to competing again.
Well, there's a lot of people that can't wait for that word. It's good to go, and we'll see you out there. I don't know when it is, but, man, it's going to be fun. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again Monday. We'll have a bunch of matches to react to on the weekend. Enjoy Italy-Turkey today.
Sounds good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
There's Tommy. We have
the Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance your Infinity from 0% or get up to 14 grand in savings. Hyatt Infinity on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
So a good one this aft, 1 p.m. And again, the slate's going to typically look like 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 a.m., at least for group play, where they will get the field of 24 teams down to 16 for knockout play. Should be fun, never boring. And if you have a chance, the world's opening up a little bit. People are getting vaccinated. Our case count's going down. If you have a chance to go watch a nation play somewhere in this city or in southern Alberta where it is a gathering of that nation's people, it's like traveling the world in your own backyard. You probably can't easily go to Portugal right now, but if you do your homework, you could be surrounded by Portuguese people watching Cristiano Ronaldo yelling in Portuguese. I highly recommend it. The best. Riley, have you ever gotten into one of these tournaments? I know it's Regina's not necessarily the most multicultural city on earth. But
not in my drinking days.
Right,
but
okay,
the 04 yeah. Euro when Greece won, I watched quite a bit with my family.
Yes.
But yeah, the local family restaurant by my old place is Portuguese, so I think I'm going to go catch a couple Portugal games there and enjoy the environment.
Nothing beats nation v nation sport. It's just the best, and it's an area that the NHL's got to get their ass together. I know it's not easy dealing with the IOC, and I know the Olympics are the crown jewel, but you've also got to create something else. You've got to find a way to get a tournament going staggered in between the Winter Olympics years, because there's just not enough best on best. I want to see Crosby, MacKinnon, and McDavid down the middle on the same team. Please, give me that. Would that not be unbelievable? Yes, and I want to see on the other side Patrick Kane, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews. Like, we haven't seen Canada-USA best on best in way too long. And the last time we did, it was phony baloney because they took all the young kids and put them on the young guns team. Please, NHL. Gary, are you listening? Get a World Cup going. 9:23. I'll stop yelling. We'll go to break. We'll come back. I'll start yelling again. Andrew McBride with us. Reminder, all our broadcasts do come to you from the iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. Instrumentation, it's iconic. Visit iconicec.ca to find out more. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to the 9 with Ryan Pinder. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
9:27, welcome back. Back we go to the guest hotline. It is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Open for takeout and delivery. When you're tired of cooking, call 403-248-3344. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar at 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. And, well, they're open for sit-down, dine-in, too, now. How good's that? Yeah. Happy Friday, McBride. How are you?
We're back, baby. Things are opening up. Sun's shining.
Woo. Could be worse.
Are you ready to be nemesises or nemesi or rivals, you and I?
Well, I'm ready. Squad's looking good here. Team Red, look out.
Team Royal Blue, look out. McBride and I always enjoy our Friday conversations. Love messing around, like the sports wagering, like that he's a rational Canucks fan. There's many that are not. But we do also have children the same age and will be clashing in the U6 league in weeks to come. I haven't got the full schedule. I don't know when Royal Blue plays Red, but you best believe we're coming for you, McBride. Red's in trouble.
See, we had an early meeting, as this is the villain soccer club, and we said, listen, we're going to identify the villains. That's going to be our team identity. We're going to, when balls come over from other fields, we're going to take them. We're going to leave our cones on the field and not pick them up. We're going full heel here. And so your team better be ready to go in the trenches, because we were teaching slide tackling. We'll be the talk of the soccer field, for the good or bad. Coach could be suspended here week two, or we're just going to train wreck the whole week. So
spikes up, huh?
We'll see what strategy happens.
We were missing some balls. We had more players than balls. That made it difficult for some drills. So I'm looking at Team Red. I'm going to be counting what's going on in your ball bag there. All right.
I already got the old sideline call from the wife saying, you got to relax. Like, it's hard for me to, like, I said, before this, I said, listen, I haven't coached in a while. I've got a lot of pent up energy here. I'm happy for the kids. Everybody's back. But you got to give me, like, the code word if I'm going a little too much. And I heard the code word.
You heard the code word? Wow, already. Week two.
Well, I mean, he doesn't get, like, you just got to. So, yeah.
Well, but there's also, I mean, this is what you do. You're very good at it. You're a leader of men. You relate to people well. You were a captain when you played. You've been a winner through and through. You coach as an assistant with an NLL team that would probably involve what? Guys in their early 20s to early 30s, leader of men. You also coach junior lacrosse here in Southern Alberta. That's probably what, the 16 to 21 age band. How would those two compare to U6?
A little different. There's a little different vocabulary. There's a little different strategy. There's a little different bribery. Week one, we went with the bubbles, and they got the bubbles. Week two was we were going to bribe them with bouncy balls. Listening wasn't up to par. No bouncy balls.
Yeah. Well, so. Hold that standard early. You can't let it slip. You start giving the bouncy balls away for poor behavior, you've lost them. They're gone for the season.
I need to get a little. The line's been set, but we need to reel it in and make sure we're having fun. Parents said they're having fun. Kids are having fun. Saw a couple kids buzzing at school. So that's what really it's all about. Getting them out there. If they come back the next practice, we've done our job.
Love it. And remember the jerseys, kids. Yeah, for sure. There's a bigger and even a greater rivalry that we're about to watch, and it's many European nations against many other European nations. Are you excited for Euro? Have you been into this tournament? Are you into this tournament?
Now, in the past, I have. I can honestly say I haven't watched too much soccer. I was actually in Greece when Greece won their first ever international and won Euro. That was
2004.
That was legit.
Before. What were you doing in Greece?
Drinking and sitting on the beach and drinking some more. Soccer is a good sport to bet, though, but I can honestly say I haven't been paying any attention to this. So maybe today I'll take a little time. I know the crowd get fired up. I know there's these people. It's a different breed over there. Like, you think the NHL fans are passionate in the city here. These fans want blood if their team doesn't do well. Like, they take the whole – there's no call-in show to Pat Steinberg. They'd be going to Pat Steinberg's house and trying to kick in his door. It's a different breed.
Yeah, I believe it was Colombia, famously, where a goalkeeper or a striker, I can't recall which, didn't do their job. And, they had a funeral soon after an important international game. Like, that is not a laughing matter. When you say they want blood, it doesn't necessarily have to be the opponents.
No. Referees, like, I don't know how you'd be a referee. It's the buses. Regularly get pelted with rocks. They're trying to, like, set roadblocks to disrupt them. They got the chants. They got the fireworks. I mean, it does. I think as a sports fan, it probably would have to be on a bucket list to try to get over to a European nation watch it. But it'll be interesting to see for sure.
The other anecdote that Tommy unloaded on us yesterday is when the Canadian national team in World Cup qualifying will go play two-legged matches, so one in Canada, one in another CONCACAF country. There's a lot of like, oh, you're going to Honduras, oh, you're going to Haiti. And you're like, oh, it's going to be hot and humid. And they're going to be setting off car alarms all night outside your hotel. And when you come out of the tunnel to play, there's bags of urine being thrown on you. I haven't seen that yet at T-Mobile Arena.
No, I don't think, and that's in T-Mobile. I remember actually going to a Whitecaps game in Vancouver, and they banned, like, the Honduran fans, just like you said, and they rented buckets, like, I'm talking these lifts, and were climbing trees, like, to look over the thing, like, they're serious. Don't deter them. So hopefully everyone stays safe. I know it can get a little rowdy over there. I know they've banned some fan bases. Let's enjoy the, what's it called, the beautiful game or whatever.
It's supposed to be the beautiful game, and then everyone's up rioting. I actually went back and watched the Simpsons soccer riot episode. It is very good. It still plays well. The humor has aged lovely, like a fine wine. You want to talk about some other things. First off, we have a Final Four in the NHL. What do you make of the two semifinals for the Stanley Cup? Islanders Bolts on one side, Golden Knights Habs on the other.
Yeah, I mean, I was pulling for Colorado, company man, toeing the line. It was, you know, their D, got exposed a little bit at the end. I think, you know, you saw a little bit of their youth come through. They were playing a little loose, couple of uncanny turnovers. Grubauer was a little bit out of it, but hey, full marks to Vegas. I mean, when they're going, that building's rocking. You saw the leadership, you saw the experience really come through. You got a guy in Marc-Andre Fleury who's rejuvenated his career and playing some exceptional hockey. So, I mean, it's hard not to give Montreal some credit because, you know, hey, they've done the unthinkable. They've come in, they've got all the recipe, like we've talked about before, with great goaltending, physical big D-men. But I'm saying I'm going either 4 or 5. I think Vegas is just too much. I think if the bubble bursts early, if Vegas can get out of the hot start, maybe some air comes out of the balloon and I can see them cruising through. The other series is going to be interesting. I mean, Tampa Bay, absolute wagon wake we've talked about, but there's just something about the Islanders. When the Coliseum's rocking, they've got these New York Saints chants going on, the blue-collar Italian crowds. It's kind of like, it's crazy.
I love it. I'm excited about the two series, and I do like that it's they're very different clubs that are facing each other, like they're strategically, tactically, how their rosters have been constructed. I also don't mind that, you know, there's a blockbuster deal between Vegas and Montreal that really both franchises have been thrilled with. I think the Suzuki Pacioretty deal's been great for both sides. It doesn't always go down that way. Moving on, you wanted to note something about the CFL. That is very unlike you, Mr. McBride. What's going on in the CFL?
Well, I was just thinking more. And, you know, like CFL, it's one of the main sports attractions here in the city. You know, reading more about seeing the handling of it. And it's coming to a point, it's like, what has the CFL done to increase the younger fan base? Because, listen, we all like going crank some beers in the high uppers of McMahon Stadium. You know, you go take the shirt off, have some sunflower seeds, great. But the demographic, you know, you can tell CFL is an older fan base. If you ask young kids about CFL,
no question.
Not interested. Yep. No, not interested. So they've been so out of sight, out of mind. Then you bring the XFL and everyone started getting turning their nose up. Some people said it was good, but the majority of the CFL fans said, hey, this isn't the way, which, and it's just interesting for such a professional, for such an important league to the history of Canada and the sports landscape. I think they've done a terrible job of trying to stay relevant through this. And I hope they can come back and get a little momentum so we can go to a game this summer.
Yeah, I'd like to go. I took my kids and my nephew to a game the last season there was, so that's a couple of years ago, McBride, if you want to talk about staying relevant. And look, like, did we stay for all four quarters and love it? Like, no, but we had a blast for like 2 hours and then we left and the boys loved it and they wanted to throw a football around after. Like, that's what you want. If we had a baseball team in town, that's what you want to do. You take your kids for 5 or 6 innings as long as they can last, and then, you know, they want to go throw a ball around in the park. I mean, I'm going to take them to a Cavalry game when that gets going this year, and they're going to want to kick the soccer ball around. Like, it's just cool to have these experiences to take your kids to. And as much as McMahon is not a state-of-the-art facility, kind of miss going to games. Little tailgates, little snossage, couple beers. Come on.
It's the best. And like you said, they you know, some of the nicest people I've met are Stampeder athletes. They're such great guys in the community. down to earth, humble individuals, have time for everyone, really make you feel like welcome and interested in what you're doing. Absolutely great people. Yeah, honestly, great ambassadors for the city and great people. So
they're not doing it to get rich, right? Like, you really got to love the game, and a lot of these guys wholeheartedly embrace the community. They really do.
Yeah, they do. But I hope they get back, because my older kid, we took her once, she loved it. Every time we drive there, she's like, McMahon football. My younger kid goes, what's this concrete building? Like, they have no clue. So hopefully it gets back. I think it would be great for the city. Can't beat it on a summer's day getting going, so hopefully it can rectify itself a little bit and trend in the right direction.
What do you got this weekend? What's going on? You're around? What's happening?
Yeah, a little alley time maybe. Get the old sports equipment out in the back. Nothing crazy.
Yeah. Dump the old bin out in the alley. And, if you need dad, he's over here rocking a beer watching football. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Good.
We got it. You got it.
Might slide by. Say hi.
Come on by.
Chat next week. Thanks, man.
All right. See ya.
Does McBride every Friday. Sort of jog things around. By the way, here's what it's going to look like. Monday, we've got our 9 a.m. Euro reports with Tommy every day, but we're going to Monday, because of the Eric Francis show, we'll be bumping that up into the 8 o'clock hour, so probably 8:25 is a reasonable expectation for Monday's Euro report. And then Tuesday through Friday, we'll have them in the 9 o'clock hour, per whether it's 9:25 or 9:05, it'll depend on what we got for other guests, how the day's shaping up. Probably 9:05 Tuesday, given we got the Speargrass Golf Show at 9:25. And Wednesday's going to be busy. Always busy on a Wednesday, because we've got Ben Wagner that we always chat with from the Blue Jays broadcast team. And Luke Elvey next week will be teeing up a major as the U.S. Open. It will begin next Thursday. Speaking of which, let's get you a quick look at the updated leaderboard from the Palmetto Championship at Congaree. It is early round two action, and the leaders are sitting at 9 under par. There's only one of them, Chesson Hadley, the American, making a move early this morning atop the leaderboard. That's not necessarily the big name you want to hear. Dustin Johnson was one stroke off the lead after 18 holes. He'll tee off at around 1 o'clock our time. He sits at 6 under, and Hadley just made another birdie. He's not a 10 under. Three-stroke lead for him. As for the Canadians, two in the top 10 after one round. That is not the case anymore. Roger Sloan has dropped all the way to 29th now, tied there. He's two over for the day. That's going to sting. And Nick Taylor had a really good day one. He's plus 3 on the day through 15 holes. Not what he's been looking for as well. That's the update there. We'll come back with the Pinder Report. Lots of hockey and baseball on your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The 9 with Ryan Pinder continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
9:44, welcome back. Reminder, we got Blue Jays baseball on your radio tonight. 6 o'clock, we'll take you to Fenway, one of the most majestic sporting venues in the world. And by majestic, I mean old, dumpy, and refurbished 1,000 times. Red Sox have been really impressive this year, better than we thought. And the Blue Jays are just looking for some stability with their pitching. They can hit, we know that, but the bullpen has gift-wrapped some wins for other clubs, and it'll be Ross Stripling on the mound today, who's been good of late, but rough out of the gates this year. He'll have his hands full with that Boston lineup. The rest of the news today, right ahead in the Pinder Report.
Ryan Pinder. Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Oh, thank you, Riley. Friday morning, gotta love it. NHL's Final Four is set. The Jays will switch their socks tonight. Euro 2020 gets underway this afternoon, and the Flames revamp their coaching staff. How about that? Not the only team to make some coaching changes as well. Dean, we start with a Game 6 in Vegas, just off the strip at T-Mobile. The craziest building outside of, I don't know, any of them? Is there a crazier building than the Blackhawks during the Cup years, then Nashville during the finals, then Montreal in a playoff game?
Last night, the most exciting rink in the NHL, for sure.
There you go. Yeah, last night, of all the games last night, certainly the craziest. Crazy, amazing, crazy,
amazing.
Wild, nuts.
Yeah, fantastic.
Wild start in this one. A goal for each team in the opening 75 seconds? What? 2-1 Vegas for 20 to the second period, and things really didn't calm down. Four goals in the middle stanza. Back and forth we went.
On the power play, he'll leave it. Rantanen in between the circles. Rantanen breaks loose. He scores! The moose is loose! It's a power play goal, and ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, this is a tie hockey game.
From the draw shot, they score! It was tipped down low, Ryan Reeves right near the net. Vegas takes the lead back 3-2.
For Burakovsky, holds, he scores! Andre the Giant fires it home!
Pacioretty, and now Tuck shoots wide, rebound, score! Petrangelo!
Back and forth, 2-2, 3-2, 3-3, 4-3, and if you're keeping track at home, we've got the Moose is loose, we've got the Sod Father, we've got MacKinnon,
yeah,
Andre the Giant, there's a lot. I feel like there's probably 23 nicknames for 23 hockey players in the old Rolodex there. So the third period, 4-3 Vegas, next goal felt like a huge one.
Kolesar scored his first playoff goal earlier, passes out high, point shot tipped into the goal!
William Carrier, what a goal, 5-3, and that pretty much was going to do it.
5 seconds to go. Right wing shot blocked by Holden. 2-1. It's over. Vegas wins the series. 6-3. The final score in game 6. The Knights knock out the Avalanche with 4 straight wins.
It was that, too, if you've forgotten. The Avs had not lost until they went to Vegas for game 3. They have not won since they went to Vegas for game 3. Vegas gets, get this, Dean, qualifies for the final 4 for the third time in 4 years in the league.
That does make sense.
What?
It makes you wonder too if they didn't have that collapse against San Jose in that round 1 where
well,
they had the lead.
Well, slash that bad call.
Right?
I mean, yeah. That was round 1, but it wouldn't have been crazy for that group to go on a run. Wild.
Crazy,
wild,
crazy.
Wild, wild. Crazy, crazy. Amazing. They'll face Montreal. It'll be Fleury against Price. The Pacioretty-Suzuki swap will be in center stage. Recall the big deal the two clubs made. Should be fun. Should be physical. Interestingly, the Vegas Golden Knights have only beat the Montreal Canadiens once ever. Feb 17, 2018. That was over 3 years ago. So they don't play a lot. They certainly didn't play this year. Montreal has not had trouble with Vegas necessarily, albeit in a tiny, tiny sample. And, well, for Colorado, Dean, it's a long run of not getting to round 3. We'll get that to that in a moment, but we do like awkward press conferences, right?
Love them.
Yeah, like if we can get some cringy audio, we're not only going to like want to hunt that down and play it, but we're going to want to keep it. We're going to want to replay it. We're going to want to like carve it up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have some fun. So Nathan MacKinnon, not particularly pleased with how things went.
I mean, there's always next year. It's all we talk about. I feel like, I mean, I'm going in my 9th year next year and I haven't won shit, so I'm just definitely motivated and I'm just, yeah, it just sucks, you know, losing 4 in a row.
Yeah. Boy, it's funny how quickly the narrative changes, right? It was like, boy, you know, Connor McDavid's the best player in the game, but in the playoffs, I'd take MacKinnon and, oh, well, the Avalanche just, who's going to beat them? They're going to roll. It's just week to week. Overreact, and it's going to sound a little crazy. He had a tough go to finish this series. Mark Stone did a great job on him. And what, 3 games to finish without a goal? Not that that's the end of the world.
It's not. And I'll tell you what, they win the President's Trophy, and they had an unbelievable season. And how many teams would swap in a second?
Yeah.
But the media and the fans they're having none of it. I'm shocked at some of the reaction coming out of there today.
Yeah.
It's their third straight year. They're out in round 2. They haven't reached round 3 since the 2001-02 season.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day. Back to the press conference for a moment before we go there. You want to hear a really brutal question in a press conference? Adrian Date is your man yesterday.
Nate, you know, I know you're a gamer and all this. And, you know, I'm just thinking maybe out loud as far as in your shoes right now. It's like, all right, we've done all the thinking we can do. We've done all the game planning we can do. Maybe, you know, just... we'll just go in next year and just not think anymore and just win this thing when we don't think so much. Is that, am I on the right path at all with this? Like maybe you just guys think a little too much?
No.
No.
Last one here for Nathan. Mark Spector.
So awkward.
What is going on?
Yeah. Nathan MacKinnon, that press conference is on fire!
So it took 30 seconds for Adrian to drop an F-bomb, and then basically the question was, do you think you just need to not think?
Yeah.
Okay. Not only is he on fire, you cannot put a fire extinguisher to that man!
That's right, yeah. Just a heater of a press conference. Nailed it. Man, Colorado's got some work to do this offseason, Dean. Their captain's contract is up. That's Landeskog. Their star defenseman needs a massive raise coming out of entry level. Saad expiring. Grubauer, their number one goalie nominated for the Vezina, UFA. Oh, and Nazem Kadri, well, at least his suspension's over now, right? Awkward.
I don't know if it has any bearing on how that series goes, but if you're Nazem Kadri, how do you feel? Much like Mark Scheifele, right? But for Kadri, it's now a number of times where you've gotten suspended and then your team goes down the drain.
Yeah, and it's not to say, oh, they'd win the series with Kadri, but make no mistake, you're a better team with your number two center, one of the better checking centers in the NHL, a guy who scored 30 goals back-to-back, a guy that skates very well and is physical. You're better with that guy than without him. There's no doubt about that.
100%.
They've got the third longest drought in the NHL from a Final Four appearance. That sounds wild because you're like, oh, they've been there since 02. Okay, well, that's not too crazy. So there's essentially 28 teams have been to the third round more recently than the Avs. And I think that's where when you talk about being surprised by the reaction of the fans in that city and the media there, that's why. Only the Panthers and Blue Jackets have gone a longer time since an appearance in the Final Four. For Columbus, it's never happened, and for Florida, it was 96 when our boy was, a fresh-faced rookie?
Yeah, but don't you still look at and say, well, what happened in 05, 06, or 09, 10? Like, where was Mikko Rantanen? Where was Nathan MacKinnon?
Oh, no,
where
it has nothing to do with them. But is when it's supposed to happen. I mean, they're good enough to do it. And I'm not saying blow this thing up. I still think, not unlike how I felt about Toronto when their series was over, like, they're going to be good next year. They don't need to reinvent the wheel, but it didn't go their way in the playoffs when expectations were high again.
Yeah, we'll discuss later, but I would think you're going to have to address the net. And obviously, I think you saw you saw in this series, you need probably a little more oomph on your back end. As the Vegas forwards, boy, Sam Girard last night got pushed around. Devin Taves had a good series, but Nemeth and Graves and Timmins and Girard, they got pushed around pretty good.
Didn't play Byram, and what am I right in suggesting that Johnson is hurt?
He is hurt.
Long term injured. That was the kind of player they could have used.
100%.
Big steady physical D man. Okay, we'll keep moving real quick. Calgary Flames.
Who cares?
Made some news.
Who cares?
Oh, well, we care, Daryl. I mean, busy month and a half ahead. Expansion draft, free agency, all before August. The Flames coaching staff restructured under Daryl Sutter. Kirk Muller unveils an associate coach. Kirk.
I think first of all, it's a competitive group. You know, you look at their body language at the end of the season. You know, there's some disappointment there, and it shows that there's a lot of character guys there, a lot of guys that care. When I seen this team at its best, you know, a competitive team that was hard to play against. And I know that that's what Daryl's trying to, get these guys to play. And so, you know, there's ability there with some skilled guys, that are able to put, score goals. There's guys that could play hard and feisty. And so for me, I look at a team that if they compete that way, and they believe in each other, that they could be a very good hockey team.
So that's Kirk Muller coming in as associate coach. The other significant change on the staff is the arrival of Cale MacLean. Ryan Huska, of course, will stay on the staff to run the D and the penalty kill, and his old assistant from Stockton's now in Calgary. MacLean finally to the NHL, and he does not take that for granted.
You know, it's an honor. Honestly, it's an honor to be in the NHL. It's an honor to work with someone like Daryl Sutter. But I know in the next breath, he would say, well, you better get over the honor quickly, right? And make sure that you're doing your job. And I think that's something that I'm really appreciative to, is that he's going to be a demanding head coach. And he's going to, not only does he get the most out of his players, but I think he gets the most out of his staff. And so, you know, it's an honor and I think it's a great opportunity.
Marty Gelina moves back, moves into player development. Ray Edwards back to player development. Jason LaBarbera, Jamie Pringle remain on in their current roles dealing with the goalies and video. NHL News, we had our Hart finalist announced yesterday, Dean. No surprises here. MacKinnon, Matthews, McDavid, Triple M, this went to Draisaitl last year. We know who's going to win this thing, 105 points in 56 games. That'll probably do it, almost double many of the other best players in the league. MacKinnon finished with 65 points in 48 games. Matthews, 66 and 52, and scored the most goals in the NHL. Finally, Columbus announced their new head coach, Brad Larsen. He was an assistant with Tortorella for the last 7 years. They did speak with some other established NHL head coaches for that job. They end up promoting the assistant. He won a cup with the Avs in 01. That was part of his 8 years in the NHL, played nearly 300 games, also 9 in the American League, 3 as the captain in Hershey. And you might remember him as a Swift Current Bronco, Dean.
I was going to say, I remember him from his days back in the old Dub. The old Dub.
Dub. Toronto Blue Jays in action last night. Huh? Yeah. It's a rubber match in the Windy City. Hyunjin Ryu, rough first inning, aided by Lourdes Gurriel's bad route to the ball. And suddenly the Blue Jays in trouble early, Dean.
And now Yasmani Grandal drives one to the opposite field and gone. A two-run homer, and it is 3-0 White Sox in the first inning.
Yeah, and as you said, that shouldn't really do it. Except that the Sox are very good and can pitch and have an elite bullpen. Ryu would settle in after that. He goes 6 innings, allowing just 5 hits and those 3 runs all in the first. But he needed some run support, and he didn't get much. The Chi Sox open things up in the late going against the Jays bullpen as well.
Hit hard and fair into the left field corner. Anderson, the base runner, runs really well. He is getting the wave around third. And there will be no throw. It'll be an RBI double for Abreu to make it a 5-2 game.
5-2, your final. Dallas Keuchel went 6 innings, just the 2 earned runs on 6 hits. Jays dropped their second straight series. Got to get going here. Into Beantown now for a what feels pretty large 4-game set with the Red Sox, a team that was not expected to be particularly strong this year, a team that we thought had weak pitching, but a team that I think is 13 games over 500. Take that. Game one tonight, 5:10, first pitch, Sportsnet 1. We'll join it in progress at 6. It's also on Sportsnet West, with there being no hockey tonight for the first time in 150 days. Starting pitchers for game one of the 4-game set, Ross Stripling, who had a rough start to the season, but it's really good his last few starts. It'll be Garrett Richards for the Red Sox on the other side. The Jays are 3 back of the final wild card, Dino, 5.5 back. Of the Sox, and it sounds like Kevin Biggio could be back with the club from his AAA rehab stint this weekend at some point. And as I just mentioned before, Springer set to rehab at AAA, perhaps as quickly as tomorrow. Hurry, George, we need you. Hurry,
You're
George.
Giving me the it's not you, it's me routine? I invented it's not you, it's me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me.
All right. George, it's you.
You're damn right it's me.
Yeah, it's George. It's his quads. He's going to make the call. So please, quads, feel good, George.
He's been great this year.